I started off in chatty containers. That's how I got involved with the International Standards Organisation. When I was transferred into the test section, it wasn't testing military equipment. What they had decided was that the facilities were on offer to industry because of the magnitude of the equipment. Mm. And we were at that stage the only place in the country where we could apply the enormous forces onto a full container, representing six fully laden containers with a dynamic load on the top of that in one go. And so I was transferred into this section. But another test which they had was supposed to be the dynamic test, in which they were trying to represent what happened in the if a fully laden container went smack into the back of another one. So the British Standards Institution had devised a test, and what they said was that the containers must stand a deceleration of 2G. Overseas containers went one further, and they didn't know how long 2G was to be recorded for. So they said, yes, we'll make our specification 2G for 100 milliseconds. So this is when I came in. And the guy before me in the test section, he produced an inclined plane of a bit of Bailey Bridge at an angle, running down to a level bit of Bailey Bridge on with rails on it. Mm. So the container used to run down these rails, and then at the end, they had a transom right the way across, and it went smack into this transom. In the meantime, they got accelerometers placed in the container, and I took one look at this and I thought, this is absolutely dreadful. And I did one or two tests on different types of container, and I wrote up to the British Standards Institution, the chairman of the committee that was dealing with this, and I explained to him that this was absolutely ridiculous, that 2G for 100 milliseconds was not an effective parameter because it didn't take into consideration the response of the container depending on its construction.
It would absorb a lot of the energy.
Well, you see, if you've got a very flexible container, like a lightweight aluminium skin, the container can actually do that.
Yeah.
And then, so that you get a surge in deceleration, followed by a massive decrease in deceleration, so it goes up and down like this, so that being able to measure 100 milliseconds like that was absolutely rubbish. Mm. So I explained to this, and it showed them the difference between a flexible and rigid container, how the door ends differed from the fixed ends, and I was asked to go up to the committee and explain it to them, and I got all the papers that I used to measure it with, gave them around, and I had the blackboard up there, and I started explaining it to them on the blackboard and what all these things meant. And afterwards, there was a guy came up. Oh no, it was a bit later on. Afterwards, he said, "We would like you to go to the plenary session and explain this to the main committee, because the BSI were sending up a subcommittee, or just a national delegation." So there was a hell of an argument, and actually, it was. Wedgwood Benn, what's his name?
Tony Benn. He was Minister of Labour.
My name got up into the echelons of the higher of the civil service because he's got an edict saying that the department which employs Gobridge must pay for his attendance at the International Committee. Well, I worked for the Ministry of Defence, and the Ministry of Defence couldn't see what the hell I was doing playing around with freight containers. Yeah. And eventually Tony Benn put his foot right down and said, "You will do it." So eventually I found myself on the same bloody plane with 2 days warning that I was allowed to go, going out to New York, nowhere to stay, with my boss, Boswell, sitting 2 seats in front of me, who was going out ostensibly onto some committee. So I said to him, I said, whereabouts are you staying in New York? Oh no, he said, I've made my own arrangements. Well, of course, I discovered afterwards that he'd got friends out there who were staying with, he was claiming full bloody allowance, wasn't he? Anyway, I did that. I went to this plenary session. They've got everybody there from Russia down to France, Germany, Italy, you name it. And I got up. I didn't mind talking to them at all either this time. I got quite used to it. And I went through it all and explained exactly the problems. And after I finished, one of the American delegations came up and, hey, he said, were you ever a lecturer? And I said, well, I have done a bit of teaching, yes. I thought so. He said, you reminded me just of my bloody lecturer at college. Yeah, dear. And anyway, they decided that, yes, they'd accept it. So Gerald Burton of British Rail, myself, and a couple of other members from the subcommittee went into a back room, and we went through this draft specification which had been carefully written, and we amended it from start to finish. And we crossed out every reference, cross-reference, corrected it here, there and everywhere. And we went back in, and when we were called up, we were asked to present it, and we gave it to the secretary. And he said, right, he said, now we've got to start amending this. And he started reading through it. He said, you've done all my work for me. We'd amended the entire draft specification for freight containers.
So whenever I see a freight container, you've had a hand in the design.
Oh, yeah,